With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
Boom! And welcome, everybody. It's the 1 week anniversary of the show. We made it. We did it. We're going to continue on. It's good news. Loving the format here, and we've got another jam-packed show for you. Tonight, we've got Charlene Bollinger in the first hour. We got Kelly Walker in the second, and as always, Adam Clark is going to bring the ruckus. But first, I wanted to start off with something outside of the headlines, okay? Because, you know, I think that a lot of times we get lost not only in headlines, but then memes that are passed around regarding these stories and said headlines. And a lot of those memes have to do with the deep, dark, deep state and the shadow government. So a number of things kind of brought me to this as an opener today. Number one, I was reading my good buddy's Twitter feed, Joe Bot, aka Joe Allen. He is the author of Dark Eon, and I got to spend some time with him while we were out in California. And we not only shared views on transhumanism and current politics, but conspiracy theories in general. And oftentimes when I tell people what I do for a living, that is the default. That's the de facto. It's conspiracy theory. And Joe had a really good write-up of how he had gone through all these theories of who ruled the world, you name it. If they've been mentioned, he went down the line. It's the Freemasons. It's the Illuminati. It's the Vatican, etc. But he said at the end of the day, things are much more complex than that. And 100,000%. That is the correct viewpoint. I do not tell people not to absorb all of this information, but a thing called discernment is key. So I thought, at least for what our modern day deep state in the United States of America is, I would point to the continuity of government program. Now, don't get me wrong. Obviously, there are networks of powerful people that have met. And not only met, but made outright organizations in the model of roundtable groups and secrecy. Really, that's where our modern day intelligence comes from. If you look at the United States in particular, a lot of the Yaleys, and this is actually documented in a fictitious film, it's based on history, but Robert De Niro's in it, so it's automatic fiction. So is The Godfather, everybody. But it's called The Good Shepherd. And all of these Yaleys, aka Skull and Bonesmen, in many cases. Now, there were other competing secret societies, not only within the Yale, but the academic scene. They were the ones that really formed the OSS. And basically, one of the reasons that Skull and Bones is more than a club is because it's not a fraternity where they get you as a freshman. No, they wait. They see where you're going. You got to be top tier. And then they tap you in your second semester in your junior year. And then you get hazed like no other. Watch the film itself. And really, that last year is getting to know your new brokerage partners. Okay, so that builds a network into the round table groups, into the power structures I discussed. But it's really the three-letter agencies and the bureaucracy that forms out of the OSS into the Central Intelligence Agency, into black programs, even into things like NASA, where a lot of people thought they were applying for NASA jobs and in fact ended up working at Area 51. And guess what, folks? Not with aliens. No, 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 no. The actual black projects. And at the very same time all of this is going on, you have a new world that is post-nuclear war. And obviously, the government easily had the sales pitch. We need a plan in case we get decapitated, in case there is nuclear war. And so the continuity of government program is birthed. And this is when you begin to have an executive within an executive. This is when you begin to have things that are born classified and out of the purview of the presidency. That's where we're going to leave it for right now. We only got a little less than a minute up against a bumper here, but in the second hour, we're going to go deeper into that continuity of government program. And I've spoke to Charlene Bollinger before. There will be plenty we talk about via the COVID-1984 nightmare, big pharma, and that partnership with the militarization of the entire thing. That's the reality. That's the quote unquote deep state. Okay, everybody, it's not all adrenochrome and fun memes. I just got to tell everybody, we got to get discernment. We got to get reality. You got to point to the actual things and where they come from. And I want to remind everybody to give TNT Radio a follow across the board. Share the stories, tell people about TNTradio.live. And if you can, make that donation, because once again, independent media can't happen without you. We'll be back right after this with more TNT Radio.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A newly published study in the Journal of American Medical Association, Network Open, has revealed how drug makers are grossly overpricing some of today's most popular treatments for diabetes and obesity. Big shocker there. To the tune of almost 400 times the level to make a profit. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. I'll tell you what, I'm so shocked I can barely speak that you would see price gouging on this level for life-saving medication, Adam.
I'm not nearly as shocked as I am. I am beyond shocked. Well, not that shocked. No, this is not surprising at all, but in a way it is. I mean, because I don't think I understood just how much they were greedy little dirtbags. This is insanity what they're doing here. In particular, what we're talking about is, you may have heard of a very popular, it's normally a diabetes injection. Injection, by the way, needle, I think needle, yeah. So these pricks for diabetes are also being used for weight loss, I believe. But the maker, Novo Nordisk, it costs them less than $5 per month to produce this. It's like one of their number one selling drugs. Guess how much they charge for the product? Well, close to $1,000 for a month's supply before insurance. That makes, that's a nice hefty profit there. Wow. Do we have to charge that much? Wild. So this new study, which was published Wednesday, is ripping off a Band-Aid off of an old topic, an old discussion. It's raising questions about prohibitive costs for important things. People have diabetes. You need the medicine. Now, this is all part of a newer class of drugs. It's an expensive thing. They're known based on GLP-1 technology. We're going to get a little scientific-y here, thanks to The Guardian reporting about this. So these GLP-1 receptor agonists, or GLP-1s, they include Ozempic. They also include Eli Lilly's Trulicity. They are now a standard part of treatment in high-income countries, but they're unaffordable in most parts of the world. So that's not good, because diabetes is on the rise. So is obesity. Ha! Cash cow ensueth. The study used data on the costs of ingredients, packaging, and logistics to calculate the potential price at which companies could make a profit, as well as paying taxes. The researchers concluded that GLP-1s could be sold at a profit for 89 cents per month. Yep, that's crazy. Wow. On average, because they're looking at a whole class of drugs here, they found prices ranging from $38.21 to $353.74. Krista Sipuk, the pharmacist coordinator of MSF, Medicine Sans Frontiers, who wrote this study and published it in the JAMA. She's with the MSF's Access Campaign, one of the study's authors, and she said, quote, "These new drugs are an absolute game changer for people living with diabetes, but are being kept out of the hands of hundreds of millions of people in low and middle income countries who need them. Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk can in no way supply the world with the amount of these medicines needed to meet global demand, so they must immediately relinquish their stranglehold and allow them to be produced by more manufacturers around the world, end quote. Additionally, here, Jason, they discovered that there are other ways for them to cheaply make similar medicines that don't involve injections the way that they're standardly being treated now. But you know how Big Pharma is. Big Pharma is going to Big Pharma, and Big Pharma is certainly Big Pharma-ing. What do you say about this one?
Well, let's look at the reality of this situation. Now, you have something that can be made for literally pennies on the dollar that if you didn't charge $1,000, let's say you took that down by 10%, you'd be making a huge profit, and it would be a lot more affordable, still out of the reach of some, but to the middle class across the world. Now, think about that in comparison to, we're going to give you a donut. We're giving you a burger. We're gonna maybe pay for your college. We're gonna enter you into a lottery. We're gonna give you all the goodies in the world to take a hate and lie shot that costs much more to produce. You see how that doesn't fit there? And then the other thing about these drugs, which is also troublesome, is number one, with a lot of these diabetes, it's kind of the acceptance now that you can develop diabetes through your habits, not only of eating just ultra processed poison all the time, but no exercise, no personal accountability whatsoever. And it speaks to vanity, right? And these are the drugs that are just out of the reach. If only I get more Ozempic and lose those pounds, I'd be prettier. And then you also see that very vain, vapid, Hollyweird influencer culture can't wait to get their hands on it. Meanwhile, it should be utilized for something very, very different. So this just goes to show that the establishment in general doesn't really care about you and care about saving lives, because if it did, this very cheaply produced drug would go to everybody all the time for almost nothing, and they'd save all those lives. How many more actual lives would you save via diabetes, as it is one of the comorbidities on a multitude of sudden deaths in reality? I mean, let's talk about that too. How many would you save if you gave that drug out, but we all had to take the hate and lie shots 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, hell, twice a year now, because it's like the flu shot, right? But they're holding this from you. It shows you that the whole thing is a big, bad joke on all of us, and we better have some dark humor.
Yeah, and then, man, and it's a frightening thing to realize that this was an acceptable conversation now and before a major event. We were not allowed to mention these types of things while these companies were presented to the world as the saviors. They were the only ones that can get us out of this. The only way out of the pandemic was to wait for a vaccine. Bill Gates even told us, Fauci told us, everybody told us, and we were waiting, and we got it, and we still had to wait like almost 4 years. I mean, there's still places that still have like lockdowns and face masks and clot shot requirements going on. It's pretty ridiculous to me. But yeah, I mean, the next time, hopefully there's not a next time, but the next time the Big Pharma wants to come forward and present themselves as if they care about the human population, just remember this story.
Absolutely. And this is, again, a microcosm for many of the medicines out there. And then once they do have a medicine that after a while, remember those patents run out, it becomes generic. I don't know, like a hydroxychloroquine or maybe an ivermectin. What do they do to it then, Adam? It gets even darker. You see what I'm saying here?
Oh yeah, they toss that thing like an ex-girlfriend or something like nasty. They go like smear her on Facebook. It's evil. It's horrible. Yeah, no, yeah. Clearly, they're like, well, we're done with her. Like, we're just going to drop this thing like a rag doll. We can't make money off of it anymore. So not only are we going to present a new alternative to it, we're going to demonize it and tell you if you take that, you're an idiot.
Absolutely. And then on the same side of that, not just with the medical community in general, but when you talk about the FDA now regulating something as simple as peptides within supplementation, that again, they tell you supplements don't work, then why is it the mainline transhumanists like Ray Kurzweil are not only taking like 100 plus pills a day, they're actually hardlining some of these right inside them? I mean, that's the reality of the situation. They say one thing, they do another. And when it comes to big pharma and medicine, we need a total re-regulation of that industry that's obviously in bed with government. And the reality is that we already have very poorly socialized medicine. And that's what people don't want to admit. If we had the kind of socialized medicine that empowered humanity, these things would not be allowed to happen. Adam Ruckus, killing it as always, my friend. You will be back in the next hour. We got to run up on a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Charlene Bollinger about a multitude of issues. But one of these issues is going to be big tech, big pharma, big government, continuity of government, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, and much more. Back after this with more of my show here on TNT Radio.
TNT's David Curtin.
In my mind, government spending in the UK is absolutely horrendous. It has got completely out of control over the last 14 years of Conservative rule and 13 years before that of Labour rule. You would probably be astounded if you actually knew how much the government spent. In this financial year, these are the figures, the estimate for how much it wants to spend on everything or how much it needs to spend is £1.2 trillion or £1.2 million, if you like, which is an amount of money that we cannot really comprehend.
David Curtin on today's News Talk, TNT.
This is generally the view of people. Oh, we don't know much about Assange. Well, you should know, because whether you know it or not, he is fighting for you.
For your courage and leadership and tenacity in journalism and publishing.
Since 2010, Assange has been held in progressively narrower, darker, colder, and crueler spaces.
He has been detained since the 7th of December 2010 in one form or another.
And we are now here after years of imprisonment.
WikiLeaks is a non-state hostile intelligence service.
I think the man is a high-tech terrorist.
A high-tech terrorist.
A traitor, a treasonous.
He has to answer for what he has done.
Assange faces up to 175 years in prison for publishing classified documents exposing U.S. war crimes.
The U.S. government narrative about Julian is a complete fraud. It is a complete fraud from A to Z.
Julian took on the most powerful countries in the world, basically all of them.
We now have confirmed that there were plans to kidnap Julian here in the center of London, or even assassinate him.
No one who instigated that illegal and immoral war has been brought to justice. But the great truth teller sits behind bars.
If wars can be started by lies, peace can be started by truth.
Julian Assange is a hero.
What if everything we thought we knew about somebody was a lie? Would we be willing to go on a new journey of understanding? This is a story of deception, lies, bravery, and a man who risked everything to bring the truth to light.
Mr. Assange shows all the symptoms that are typical for a person that has been exposed to psychological torture over a prolonged period of time.
He looked at me intensely and said, "I hate to say this." He then hesitated, visibly troubled and searching for words. And then he finally said, "Please, save my life."
May future generations have the ability to speak without restraint.
May our children and their children know truth and have access to information that leads to justice. Wherever Julian goes, free speech goes with him.
If there is a bird that is about to take flight, stretch her wings and rule the skies, may it be a peace dove and no longer a bald eagle.
If you think Assange is a traitor, he's a rapist, he's a narcissist, he's a hacker, I don't blame you, because you have been deceived. And if you think you've not been deceived, that's normal, because otherwise it wouldn't be deception.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Come on, let the man talk.
We never censor our hosts.
Good. Now, talk.
Uncensored news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we are back with Charlene Bollinger, and she is one of the part of the team with the Remedy series and the book, The Truth About Cancer. We actually spoke about 8 months ago for an hour, and we talked a lot about the COVID-1984 nightmare. I'm sure we're going to get into that, but I know you didn't hear the last story, but basically we have a big pharma industry that is taking a diabetic drug. A lot of people are using it to lose weight. They're pricing it at $1,000. To make a profit, they'd have to charge, they're charging 400 more times than they would to have a profit. And they're not making it readily available for those with diabetes. This pretty much shows you how big pharma works. When they want you to take something like mRNA or vector-based military technology, they'll give you a cheeseburger. They'll pay for your coffee for a week. You get a Metro pass. They'll maybe pay for your college. You can enter a lottery. But if you need life-saving medication, well, we're going to overcharge by 400 times. And by the way, we're going to preference this for a totally different purpose that is not based in saving any lives, but in vanity. Charlene, that kind of speaks to how evil Big Pharma really is.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been doing this for almost three decades now. So, you know, when we got married, Jason, 1995, my husband, Ty, his dad was diagnosed with cancer, and we knew nothing about real advanced therapies, protocols, and real medicine. And so we just followed what the doctor said, partly, but we knew enough to say no to the chemotherapy. Well, they cut his stomach out. That was their treatment. He ended up bleeding to death within 25 days of the surgery. And that was our introduction into the medical realm that is in place today, the medical cabal. And we lost his dad's dad and his dad's brother in that first year and his cousin, all to the cancer treatments that his mom's mom and his mom's dad and family, his mother. Needless to say, we were researching the whole time. And what you just said is really the summation of the pharmaceutical industry today. And it's been 100 years in the making, as Obama said back in 2010, you know, they did it. You know, that was 100 years prior. 1910 was when the Carnegies and Rockefellers, who owned the chemical companies, which today we call the pharmaceutical companies, sent out Abraham Flexner to grade the American medical schools. And so the medical schools that were teaching drug-intensive therapies got high marks, A pluses. The herbalists, chiropractic care, all of the things that have been around since the beginning of time that have been used to treat people in their health holistically got Fs. They were not funded. So the Rockefellers and Carnegies put $500 million back in 1910 into the American medical schools, which today is equivalent to the billions. In other words, they bought the medical schools here. And slowly over time, they demonized real medicine, real therapies that heal, and they demonized those telling and educating about it. And so now here we are, more than 100 years later, where pharma really has a stronghold, not only in America, but around the world. So people like us, Jason, are demonized. We're lied about. We're smeared. CNN hits us. You know, the Center for Countering Digital Hate, which Elon Musk just sued, named us. They came on the map with us first, naming us the Disinformation Dozen with Bobby Kennedy and others. People who are brave enough to dare speak the truth about the cancer industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the vaccine industry, you get the drift.
Absolutely. And I want to talk about that cancer industry just for a moment, because my generation, when we were growing up, we were told advancements in medicine were amazing. We were not only going to cure cancer, but most of us were going to live past 100. Everything was going to be great. We've seen the complete opposite of that. In fact, headlines this week just called my generation the cancer generation and is now admitting to an explosion in cancer and young people. You just mentioned a number of your family members in succession taken out by cancer at a very quick rate. We're going to go to break in a moment, but what I want to ask you when we get back is, are we seeing an acceleration of cancer? Is it happening younger? And now when people are diagnosed, a lot of people are talking about these turbo cancers. I literally know somebody who was diagnosed. She regressed, didn't have cancer for years, all of a sudden had it again, and was dead within 6 weeks. I mean, this is actually happening, but as to what scale? And right now we also have an administration that's telling us once again, folks, they're going to cure cancer. Cancer moonshot is here. Joe Biden and the boys, they're going to save the world. We're going to kick it to a break. We're going to come back with Charlene Bollinger. This is TNT Radio with the truth. More after this.
Here we go.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Former President Donald Trump attended the wake of slain New York Police Department officer Jonathan Diller on March 28th as part of his campaign focus on crime reduction ahead of the 2024 presidential election. Victoria Charity White, a 42-year-old woman from Rochester, Minnesota, has initiated a $2 million civil lawsuit against at least two Metropolitan Police Department officers for being beaten during the events at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
We are talking the cancer generation. And, you know, other than the story I just told you, I know two good friends that I went to college with, both diagnosed with cancer well before they were 40. They're fighting it right now, but I have a friend now that's been fighting it for 3 years, basically lost the movement of his arm. He's on his last legs. He was diagnosed right after his wedding and having his first daughter. He's 43 years old. I mean, is my generation now the cancer generation? And can we expect more of this?
Well, that's a great question. And yeah, I mean, it's not just your generation, it's everybody. The thing is, typically cancer was, it happened over time at a slower rate, and it's really environmental. So, you know, both my mother-in-law and father-in-law, they died with stomach cancer, not from it, but they had it. And they were not blood related, but they were married and they were living together for over 30 years, consuming the same food, exposed to the same water and the chemicals and the air and whatever it was that they were exposed to, what they were consuming. And so they both developed stomach cancer. The toxins invade our space and our bodies and our breath over time. And over time, it can break us down if we don't know how to detoxify and live a healthy life, which is what we try to help people learn how to do. So in the past, the cancer was very rare, like 100 years ago, really was almost unheard of. But recently there's been an explosion, and we're good friends with Judy Mikovits. And on our stage at TTAC live event in Anaheim, before anybody really knew who she was, I told her I wanted her to speak about how she was persecuted. I wanted the world to know. And pharma was watching when that happened. And that's what helped her message resonate and go out into the world when COVID hit, because we were all working together trying to help people not to get the shot, which is why they shut us down, because they wanted them to get the shot. And what she was saying was, she went to Fauci back before the COVID pandemic. She was working for him. And she said, you know, all these retroviruses are causing cancer. All of these vaccines are causing cancer. And they said, look, you just need to be quiet now. We will fund your work. We will give you anything you want. But if you keep talking like this, we're going to take everything from you. And so she, as a Christian and as a lover of humanity and children, she said, there's no way I could stop telling the truth. We got to stop this. So they just really wrecked her life. They put her in jail. They took everything from her, but her dignity and the truth. And so, you know, she shared that on our stage. She's sharing it today, and we stand with her. So cancer has been on the rise since we've been doing more and more vaccines. But the COVID shot, wow, this shot, I watched the numbers and I talked about the numbers and I was posting them all over Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, these channels all took us down. Facebook, we're still there, but we can't say anything there. You know what I mean? Twitter, they took us down, five channels down. I watched Zuckerberg and Jack from Twitter when he was the CEO and the Google guy talk to the government about us specifically. And literally within a week, they took all of our Twitter channels down. And then Biden comes out and calls us killers. And the day he did that, they took our cancer YouTube down, which we had a 300,000 followers, many millions of views. This is how they play ball. This is corruption at the highest level. This COVID shot has killed more people than all of the rest of the shots from 1986, when the tracking began, until 2020. The deaths of every shot was, which is currently 70 plus shots, 10,000. But the deaths from the COVID shot were over 30,000. So we outnumber all of the catastrophes with this one shot, which is just months. And the adverse events outnumber, just with this one shot, than all of the other shots combined. It was, I think, over a million adverse events reported to the VAERS system, which is counting to about 1 to 10%, according to our government. They told us that was the real number, because most people don't even know they're having an adverse event. But the COVID shot had over a million and a half, I think. So we have 2.5 million adverse events reported, most of them from the COVID shot. So the COVID shot seems to be designed to attack the heart, the brain, the reproductive organs. And we are seeing turbo cancers that we have never seen before. We are seeing people, as you said, you have a friend that was diagnosed and 6 weeks later, you said goodbye to that person. These cancers are fast growing. They're aggressive and they're hitting younger people, just like myocarditis. Joe Latipo down in Florida has advised that no one take the shot. First, he said men between, I think men over 40 don't take the shot, then men younger than 40, then children don't take the shot. Now he's saying nobody take the shot. It's that dangerous. Just don't take the shot. We're grateful to hear an attorney or a surgeon general telling us the truth, being brave enough and bold enough to say the truth. But we have, I think, over a billion people that have taken the shot. This is why they shut us down. We had the science, the facts, the researchers, the doctors, the peer-reviewed studies. We had the ingredients list. We understood what was going to happen. We warned people that millions of people would die from this shot if they actually took it. And today, every single day, we see someone dying suddenly. We see young children getting cancer, young children with myocarditis, young children having heart attacks. This has never happened before. As bad as it ever was before the COVID shot, it has been put on warp speed to younger death, younger heart problems. We see babies in utero having heart attacks now. This is how horrific that one shot is. And they, I think, recently put it on the recommended childhood schedule. So children are supposed to be getting this shot regularly, which, by the way, I think that you know, Jason, children have no danger, really. COVID is like the flu. In fact, the CDC just downgraded it to a flu, which is what we said from the beginning, but they called us dangerous for saying these things. But now they're saying these things. We were right all along. And then they ask for amnesty. I don't think so. I think Nuremberg is more in line here.
Well, I would love to see some criminal accountability across the board. We have had some behind closed door depositions given by Peter Daszak, given by Anthony Fauci, very sparsely covered in the press at all, mainstream and really, unfortunately, alternative media alike. Because if you read those documents, they're out there. They're naming not only the Wuhan Institute, but they're talking about Chapel Hill. They're talking about institutes in New York. They're really, in my opinion, at least looking at the globalized nature of this as a bioweapon. And I'm not even talking about the shot. I'm talking about the genesis of this virus. And not only knowing that it was a bioweapon, but lying about it, really to what? Institute another global bioweapon that seemed to have a lot more potency than the virus itself. Because when you really look at biowarfare and viruses in general, what happens, and they tend to dissipate. They can be very, very hardcore at first, but they mutate so that they can affect more people. And really, when you looked at this, that's exactly what was actually happening. Because again, they've lied to us when the virus came into the United States. All the evidence shows October or September at the latest. And remember, it didn't supposedly get here till almost March. And supposedly, its origin was in Wuhan in January. But again, that's not what the evidence shows. So they've lied on so many levels. When it comes to long-term effects, that's what I want to get into next. And the question of not only those that took the shot, but what do these things do when they shed? Because we know that traditional vaccines shed. And in their own literature, it seems that these mRNA and vector-based shots also shed. We've got to take a break. We're going to hit a commercial when we come back. We got more Charlene Bollinger on TNT Radio Live back after this.
Sometimes a car comes along that changes everything. With innovations never thought possible and features that make you wonder, how did people survive without this? This is that time, and this is that car. This is the world's first VW. Equipped with transparent doors to eliminate reasonable suspicion, whatever that means. A 10-2 steering wheel that keeps hands visible at all times. We remove the glove box so there's no confusion about what the driver is reaching for. With a touch of a button, the ultrasonic biometric scanner displays the license and registration of the driver to ensure contactless exchange of information. With no trunk, nothing can be concealed, so therefore, there is nothing to search and seize. To ensure you will never be mistaken for breaking the speed limit, we've installed limited edition airless tires. And we removed the engine because, honestly, why risk it? DWB, the first vehicle of its kind, where the safety feature is the car itself.
I have a feeling these are the suspects in question. Occupants look like the people involved in the armed robbery. I'm approaching the vehicle. Request backup. The driver matches the description because of a wide set nose.
Hi, I'm Abel.
I often forget to mention that he's an amputee because Abel will try any activity he can.
My arm helps me with basically everything.
He doesn't see what he can't do, he sees what he can do.
Yeah, okay. This is helping.
The War Amps has just given him the ability to do all the activities every kid can do.
When you donate to the War Amps, you help kids like me. Thank you!
Jason Burmis has the power of information.
Today's News Talk.
TNT.
We are with Charlene Bollinger, and before the break, we were getting into the cancer aspect and how it's exploded. And it does seem that there is a definite correlation when we're talking about these shots. Now, the question I have is, what about those that have not taken these shots? Because depending on your area, well over half of your peers likely that you work with or that you see at the bar, certainly your children who they go to school with, took this shot. Maybe not once, maybe not twice, maybe not thrice, maybe even more times than that. So what is the evidence of shedding? And do you feel like this could also be detrimental long-term to even those that haven't taken it?
Yes, it's a great question. And I have a few friends that really have done some in-depth studies, and one in particular that's trying to get a paper with proof out with a lot of women that have been affected by the shedding, women that were not vaccinated, but they had prolonged menstrual bleeding and pain and things that they knew was from the shedding. So there's scientific proof this is happening. And so it is really a problem. It's you know, you think about also not only the shedding, but the effect on the blood banks. Now they refused to ask the question that we wanted them to ask when they were taking blood. They refused to ask if they were vaccinated with the COVID vaccine or not. And so now we have a lot of tainted blood, and now blood banks are having problems, and people that don't want that poison in their body don't really know what to do. And so I think the next step is to find maybe an independent organization or form something and start collecting blood from the unvaccinated. So if we have an issue where we need a blood transfusion, we don't have to worry about getting that blood, because it would be devastating for those who have protected their health and not taken the shot. So yes, to answer your question, shedding is a huge problem, but there's still so much that we can do to protect ourselves from that. We just started a Substack. It's TTAC official. So you really need the Truth About Cancer official. You need to go there, sign up. It's free. There's a paid version too, with more in-depth reporting, and it's really worth a few dollars a month. But the free Substack, you can search it and look for, I think that the title of the article is Neutralizing mRNA. So there's a protocol that you can do, and that will neutralize the spike protein, whether you've had the shot or not. And so I encourage people to go on, look at that, and start getting your medical kit together. We have the best protocol. And tonight I'm going to try to get something I got from a Harvard doctor. He's one of my dearest friends. He actually saved my life at one point. I was poisoned on purpose at an event, the first event that was a non-masking event I helped with. Someone targeted me, sprayed me with something, and I literally almost died. It was really, really awful. But this doctor saved my life. He told my husband, you've got to give this stuff to her 3 times a day. He wrote the protocol, and I did what he said, and it turned it around. And I really literally did not think I was going to make it. And that's how desperate the other side is to wipe us out. But God still has work for me to do, and I've still got breath in my body. And as long as I do, I'm going to continue this work. But I am going to release something for disease X. I think that's what they're calling it. So it's a protocol that will help anybody that either had the shot, that wants to prevent the effects from shedding, or whatever they're going to roll on to us next. And so the guy that saved my life, the guy that wrote the protocol, and he wants to remain anonymous because he doesn't want to be persecuted as an MD, as a doctor, like we've seen other doctors. He's just there helping people behind the scenes. He's a true hero. He doesn't want the credit. He doesn't need the accolades or the fame. He's here to save lives. That's coming to our Substack, and it's really vitally important that everybody reads it, print it, share it, and then stock up. You know, we all need to be watching vigilantly our health right now, because our health and our life is really under attack by these ghouls like Fauci and friends.
Absolutely. So let's talk about mRNA technology in general, especially in regards to the shots. So you had Moderna partner with DARPA under a $25 million grant that really kicked off their work with mRNA and the ADEPT Protect program. Now, this was a program, if we did have some biological or bioweapon introduced, a virus that was, you know, zoonotic, like they tried to tell us again and again and again, but never seems to happen. Or biowarfare, they would have this platform that once they sequenced the virus, they could essentially create an effective vaccine within 3 days and distribute it to the populace. So you have this partnership. Moderna literally has no other products. They're a zombie company until this. This breaks out. And all of these other drugs that have been around that were safe and effective, and we've repurposed drugs forever, are not only not utilized, but if a doctor does try to utilize them, or say just want to give you a vitamin C drip or a vitamin D drip or tell you to go out in the sun, they might take their medical license. That happens. So they can launch this. And now we have mRNA introduced. It's really a gene therapy. It was never defined as a vaccine. In fact, they had to change the literature in order to do that. And when we talked about cancer earlier and cancer moonshot, they're talking about this very technology to defeat cancer. I mean, it's such an inversion of reality that somehow this technology that seems to be causing cancer in humans is actually going to be our savior. And on top of that, we have seen no large-scale human trials on this technology claiming to do what it says it was going to do, except for the nightmare that just occurred, Charlene. Is that a pretty correct perspective?
In a nutshell, I think so. You know, when Biden was doing that State of the Union, and I was busy working, and I had a friend that texted me and said, "Are you watching?" And I'm like, "What? What do you mean? What's going on?" And so he told me the State of the Union was on. So I turned it on, and I take to Facebook, of course, because I just want to put wine liners out there to people, because people want to come together and say, "This is crazy." So my first Facebook post was something like, "Is Hitler glitching?" And Facebook, I got like hundreds and hundreds of likes, reactions, comments, like it just lit up, you know, everybody had something to say. Well, I said a few other things, but that post got taken down by Facebook, and they said it broke their community standards. And I said, it was a joke. It was a joke. You know, I disagreed and immediately said, nope, it breaks our standards. Okay. And so at one point, you know, Biden did say in that speech that, you know, we're going to save lives. We've got this answer to cancer, and it's coming, and we're going to cure people. And I posted, and it's still there. You can go to Ty Charlene Bollinger, our personal Facebook. We've got our big pages, but this was our personal Facebook. And I said, you can cure cancer if you stop censoring us, because we have so many testimonies, thousands and thousands of testimonies of people that in some cases were sent home to die, that found the body of our work, our films on cancer specifically, or our books, and they learned what to do. They were connected after that time with the doctors or clinics we feature, and they healed themselves. You know, it's not rocket science. You just have to be given the truth. The truth has been hidden by the system. So they hide the truth. They put in its place drugs. They're making a lot of money. Bill Gates has made, he said this, he made way more money on the vaccine than he ever did on computers. It's a cash cow for these people. Moderna was worth, I think, $5 when they came out in their stock, and they went up to, I don't know if it was 300 or it was just an astronomical growth. They made a ton of money on pushing the shot. And I don't call it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine. But with the push now on the new drugs for cancer, they're causing cancer. Pfizer is coming out with a shot to prevent cancer. Pfizer caused cancer. Pfizer shot caused the turbo cancers we're seeing. The myocarditis, they knew it before they put it out. They put it out anyways. They just released a 148 paper on the effects and link between the shot and myocarditis. And when they did, the entire thing was redacted. I still can't believe that that whole thing was, not one word was visible. Nothing was visible. So they've rigged everything. They put out stuff that's causing cancer. They made a lot of money. Now that people have cancer, they're putting out more stuff that's supposed to cure the cancer, and they're going to make more money, and more people are going to die. And so you have to ask, is their goal to kill us? I mean, for a while we were saying, well, they don't want us dead. They just want us sick, and they want us sick for a long time because they can make a lot of money. But now it looks like they actually might want us dead. You know, and we have Bill Gates in 2010 saying, well, you know, we've got to downsize the world population. There's too many people. How can we do this? A really good vaccination program could downsize it by at least 10%. And then, you know, the family planning, he's talking about Planned Parenthood, where they kill babies. And his father was one of the founders of Planned Parenthood. We know that Margaret Sanger was a Satanist, and her goal was to kill the blacks. She called the blacks weeds that needed to be pulled. We include this in a book called Monumental Myths, That's on the truthaboutcancer.com and on products page for a few dollars. It's a great book. And we tell the truth. That's why they're after us. They don't like to be exposed. We name names and we bring the facts to the table and the receipts. We don't just give opinion. We give their own studies. We put them out so people can find them and understand them and know what's happened and who's who and what they've done and what their motives are based on what they said, not on what we think.
So Bill Gates, I featured that clip from his 2010 TED Talk, is using the guise of climate change to infer that we are overpopulated. He actually puts an equation up there that includes human beings themselves and the amount of carbon that we're using, and talks about through proper family planning, vaccination programs, et cetera, that they'll be able to do that. And when you referred to him in his investment scheme, it was at Davos at 2020, just prior to the COVID-1984 nightmare, that he made the stunning statement that he had invested in vaccines through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, because that's what you do with your benevolent foundations. Right. You invest in things. And to the tune of 20-1 on the return, he then said that was just about better than anything else on the market. What people have not picked up on is that about 2 years ago at the Global Fund, the one where, again, Joe did glitch out. He went over to the podium and he went like that. If you actually listen to his speech, which had all the players there, you had Justin Trudeau, Macron, Bill Gates introduced Joe Biden right before. Well, it's not a 20-1 return anymore. So the Global Fund, which was basically formed out of the HIV and AIDS epidemic that Judy Mikovits has exposed, that's now a 31-1 return. And the nation states that are involved are putting in over $8 billion. So that should just speak to how big a business this whole thing is. And like you said, the question is, you know, a lot of people thought, well, they just want to keep you sick and profiteer off of you. Well, we're coming into an age of transhumanism, of automation, of robotization. And a lot of these people have also alluded that they don't need as many of us anymore. And I would argue, Charlene, that one of the main things to get people to take this was not only to poison them, but later on down the line to say, well, you already took transhumanist technology. This is bio nanotech. This is gene therapy. This absolutely did change you, even though we lied to you about it for 10 or 15 years, right? And one of the other technologies that's now coming on the scene, we covered it here on TNT Radio last night, is called HACS, H-A-C. And this is now bio nanotech that is going to be developing separate types of chromosomes. The future is now, this is the medicine that they're pushing. And at the same time, what are they doing? The FDA is trying to regulate peptides that are found in supplements that absolutely benefit human beings. So in the last few minutes, how do we combat these things? How do we protect ourselves? What are some of the steps that people can take right now to put them on the track to health rather than disaster?
Right. Well, number one, it's simple. Just don't take those shots. Stop taking the shots. That's number one. And share this show with everybody you know. Educate your friends. Educate yourself. I mean, it doesn't take a whole long time, but you just need to figure out where you are, where your health is, make an assessment, and then take the steps to turn it around. You know, look at what you're drinking. Drink pure water, good high quality water every day and lots of it. Clean up your diet and eat really clean, good food. If God made it, it's good. If man came and altered it and chemicalized it, it's not good. It's going to poison you just like the shots. So over time, if you're eating poison food, drinking poison water and poison air and poison, you know, taking showers in poison water, and then you're taking poison pharmaceuticals and you're taking the shots, you're going to be sick. So get outside of their box and live. Breathe the clean air. We are coming out on the Truth About Cancer Substack with the remedy for all of this. You know, if you've gotten a lot of the shots and you realize, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have done that, we have a detoxifying healing protocol that will literally pull the nanotech, the spike protein out of your body. And whatever they're coming with next, we've got you covered. So don't be afraid, because fear is such a negative emotion, which they use to control you and make you believe you've got to do what they say. And fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, all those negative things really feed into disease. So your immune system needs you to be happy. A cheerful heart is good medicine, literally. We've seen studies where the blood was tested after a hearty laugh. There were a room full of people watching a movie, and when they laughed, their blood was taken and their immune system was just alive in their blood. And then there was a real sad part, and the blood was taken during that time, and the blood seemed to just be dead for about 7 hours. So the effect of negative emotions also plays a role here, and they are pushing fear constantly, and fear really is all by itself a killer.
Absolutely. Let people know where they can check out the docuseries Remedy.
Remedy. Well, we've got thetruthaboutcancer.com. Go to our products page. All of our films and things are there. You can go to our Substack. We've got a lot of great content there, The Truth About Cancer, Substack. We're on Rumble. You can find, I think, episode 1 of Remedy is there. Watch it, share it with your friends. Just be free and live.
Absolutely. Charlene Bollinger, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be back in the next hour. We've got Kelly Walker. Again, Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, is going to join us. You're not going to want to miss it. We're going to continue on what the continuity of government program is, what the true deep state is, and beyond. This is my show. I'm Jason Burmis, and we'll be back with more TNT Radio after this.